Welcome back to EcoTalk, and I think you're going to find this next segment particularly intriguing. There's a group of people out of the San Francisco Bay Area. So here I am in New York trying to do East Coast stories, and we're back on the left coast. But this one is catching not only beyond the Bay Area and across the country, but across the globe. This has become an international phenomenon. It's called Compact, and a group of people got together and decided to make a pledge in 2006 to only buy essentials. It's a message about overconsumption. There's an ecological message, of course, and that's why EcoTalk is interested. And we have two people who are going to be joining us for this interview. One is Sarah Pelmis. She's a dean at University High School in San Francisco and one of the original Compactors. And she's a surprised at not only the response that they originally got, but then there was a backlash, and now people are coming forward saying this is an idea whose time has come. And for some sort of objective view of this, we're going to check in with Peter Seeley. He's an adjunct marketing professor at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business. So thanks for joining us, both of you. And why don't we begin with you, Sarah? What made you help start this campaign?
Well, we had a first round of it, actually, about 3 or 4 years ago, when just four of us who were friends decided that there was just too much stuff around. And we had two motivations for it. One was that two of us had just adopted a baby, and they just thought that their house was full of too many plastic toys. And, you know, kids in general would rather play with wooden spoons anyway.
And those plastic toys usually contain PVC, a really toxic form of plastic.
Exactly. So it just seemed like too much stuff. And then we were concerned very much about global conditions of production of the various things we were buying. So it occurred to us that it might be worth it to experiment and see, could we go an entire year without buying anything new and just basically recycling what had already been purchased or borrowing from one another or doing without.
How formal a pledge was this? Did you sign something in writing, or was it just an informal, you know, thing to talk about among a few friends and it grew from there?
Well, it was very informal. It's one of those things you do on a summer afternoon on your back deck, you know, that usually doesn't actually add up to anything. But for whatever reason, we really felt like this was something we could and wanted to do.
And obviously,
we jumped right in.
It's resonating. How do people find out about it?
Well, it sort of faded away when we had a little bit of a fight over drywall and whether or not one could find used drywall, which, you know, you really can't.
You're that serious about it. Drywall, you're even
drywall
taking very seriously.
Drywall was where things kind of fell apart. And so so the purchasing came back in. And just before this past New Year's, one of the original members again said, let's give it a real shot again and see if we can go for 2006 without buying anything new. And he invited some more friends, and we created a blog and a Yahoo group, and that's where all of the international fervor has occurred.
And where does the name come from, Compact?
From the Mayflower Compact. It's kind of a nod to our geekiness and our puritanical roots at the same time, a sort of revolutionary impulse, I think.
How many people have signed on?
Well, about 250 people a week are adding themselves to the Yahoo group.
And are they truly from around the world?
They really are. The first few that we saw were from Romania and Japan, and most recently there's been a lot of action from Ireland, but they're from all over the globe.
And before we go to Peter, I just want to make clear, you are actually pledging to buy only essentials, things like food and shelter items?
Food, health and safety items, and underwear. We've agreed on underwear.
And if you buy Patagonia's underwear, you can recycle that. They're taking those
exactly
at their stores back to recycle. Okay, I want to check in now with Peter Seeley at the UC Berkeley Haas School of Business. He's also the former chief marketing officer for the Coca-Cola company back in the 90s, but he says he was just a regular student, maybe even a hippie, back in 1970 when we saw the first Earth Day. And he's saying he sees some parallels to what's going on today. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Betsy. Well, I do. You go back to 1970, and there was an unpopular war. It was called Vietnam, an unpopular president, approval ratings down in the dumps. And a senator from Wisconsin, Gaylord Nelson, decided to channel that protest into something positive and announced Earth Day. And in the spring of 1970, 20 million people joined that movement and really began the modern, really, environmental movement. And what fascinates me, what Sarah and her associates are doing, is it going to have that same kind of traction? We have parallels today, and I'm fascinated with the parallels 36 years ago.
And it apparently is striking a chord. There seems to be some pent-up desire or demand for just this kind of movement. What is it that's taking place besides the historical notes and similarities you just mentioned? What is it about overconsumption in this country that really is starting to become really feel excessive?
Well, it's a broadening of our environmental concerns, Betsy. It's, you used to call your program Trash Talk. It's now called eco-talk. You broaden the agenda. And I think we're now sensitive to that. I give you an example. I'm a Macintosh fan. I love the iPod. I'm on probably my eighth-generation iPod, and I'm getting mad because I shouldn't be on an eighth-generation appliance that's only 3 years old. Yeah. And I think there's a groundswell of people saying that, you know, enough is enough, and what Sarah and her associates may do is highlight this. And Betsy, I'd say this. Even if a person doesn't join Sarah in the strict adherence to what she is proposing, they might adopt some of it. I mean, the Atkins diet was not followed by everybody, but the low-carb kind of craze became quite widespread. So I think even if she doesn't have 20 million members in Compact, the impact of what she is suggesting may have a very broad impact on all of us.
As a marketing professor at one of the best business schools in the country, how will you incorporate this message into what you're teaching? Or maybe you already were talking about responsible consumption, or maybe encouraging your students to go out and build and create and invent greener, cleaner products.
Betsy, marketing is listening to the consumer and following the consumer. We don't dictate. The consumer dictates. And here is a consumer dictate coming to us. I have a good friend. He's chief marketing officer of the Procter & Gamble Company. They've done enormous work in shrinking the size of their packaging on some of the detergents. The less physical material needs to be distributed. They had to do a extensive marketing program to say this is the same number of washes, we're just reducing the physical size of the container. That's the kind of work companies need to do to adhere to what the consumer movement is really telling them.
Okay, now Sarah, there has been a bit of a backlash. So what kinds of comments were you and your colleagues getting?
Well, it's interesting that some of the first comments were sort of frustrated. You were clearly all a bunch of yuppies from Berkeley with too much disposable income, and you know, this is how a lot of people are required to live, is not spending excessively. And, you know, if you wanted to change the planet, why don't you become teachers? Kind of criticism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and you are.
And we are, so that's done. So there was that. And then there's been an interesting, something Peter could talk to much better than I, a concern that what if this becomes an economic policy, wouldn't it destroy the planet? You know, the world can't survive if this is the economic approach everyone takes. Which is, of course, something we're not, this is not likely to happen, first of all.
That should be our biggest problem as a country.
Yeah,
I guess it would be.
I think we'd be doing fine then.
We sure would have gone a long way down the opposite end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So, Peter, you say Pottery Barn is not in danger of going out of business because
it's
of this campaign.
Not, but I think there's a, you know, we're here, Betsy, where you live in Northern California. We're looking in San Francisco at taxing grocery bags, encouraging people, the simple act of bringing a reusable grocery bag to the Safeway Marina. Now, that's not going to change the world, but that's a small step to reduce the solid waste disposal stream. So I think what we're seeing is we can't throw away batteries anymore, Betsy, as you know, in California as of January 1st. We have to recycle those. These are small steps which I think add up to a broader movement of greater responsibility and walking more gently on this planet.
If nothing else, it forces us to think about our waste, the things that we, you know, come in contact with every day, all those plastic bags that are a huge disposal problem.
And absolutely.
And that's the beginning of it, right? But we need to think and then act, and don't we need to have a system and a structure in place that makes it, you know, easier to get cloth bags and make them affordable, which they are, and it's not difficult to get them. But it's consciousness raising, isn't it?
It is, but Betsy, the prime motivator here is people deciding themselves to be more responsible, what Sarah and her group are doing. Marketers listen to that. When people say that, marketers get on that bandwagon very quickly and make it easy. Marketing makes it easy to do what you want to do. And if you want to be more responsible in terms of the solid waste stream in this country, marketers, McDonald's, the Coca-Cola Company, Apple Computer, everybody is going to follow that dictate. That's why I applaud what Sarah and her group are doing.
And I like this quote, Sarah. You say, if it's national news when a small group of professionals decide not to buy anything new and it bothers people so much, it really speaks to how deep we are into consumerism in this country. If people feel that way or want to say we think you're crazy or whatever they want to do, how can they read more about it and participate and lend their views?
Well, there's a Yahoo group called The Compact, which we encourage everybody to join. And we have a blog as well. And these have actually become support groups as much as anything, because what Peter's pointing to is just how broad the interest in this is. So everything from recipes to recycling to healthier travel is on there, people connecting with each other. So we encourage everyone to connect that way and then take it in the direction that makes sense for them personally.
And, Betsy, what we have now, we didn't have back in Gaylord Nelson's era in 1970, is the Internet. And I will suggest to you that the fuel for Sarah's movement is going to be blogs and the Internet. Watch that to see if this thing spreads into really a global movement.
And why do you think those who are threatened by it are so vocal, Peter? What is this touching that really maybe, you know, makes some feel like the whole American way of life is threatened?
Well, anytime you have a discontinuity, anytime the public goes out in front of where you've been, it scares marketers. I mean, is General Motors going to be able to sell a Suburban? Is McDonald's going to be able to sell a Big Mac in a styrofoam wrapper? It scares them. They resist change. As soon as they say, this is real, it's not going away, and we're going to have to deal with it, I can recall, Betsy, 1970, and both you and Sarah are probably too young, soft drink and beverage cans at that point had a ring pull that came off the can. You simply tossed it away. It was a terrible thing for the environment. These things cut people, animals ingested it. Because of Earth Day, we found a way to make that ring pull stay on the can.
I remember that. We're out of time, folks.
Well, it's a tiny, small thing, and we didn't want to do it at the Coca-Cola Company, but we said, well, we've got to do it.
And
now,
it didn't change the world, but hopefully, maybe Compact. Well, we're out of time, but thank you both of you for joining us, Sarah Palmas with the Compact Group and Peter Seeley from UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business.
Nice
stay with us. We'll be right back.